Brown from the University of South Florida and colleague in the center.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for the nice segue and introduction. I want to also acknowledge the role of my colleagues, Dr. Catherine Fromm, Molinari, Barnett, Schoenfeld, Shinka, and Roger Casey. And I guess I can just use the mouse? No, I have to use this. Okay. So I want to also thank the National Center for Homelessness Among Veterans for their financial support of this project. I have a contract, and so they help to fund the actual activities for the research. And again, I have nothing to disclose, nor do any of my colleagues. So I want to start out by saying that if you look at the incidence of sheltered homelessness in adults, and you'll see that 55 per 10,000, but the, I'm going to start all over again. HUD's 2008 AHAR report revealed that the incidence of sheltered homelessness in adults was 55 per 10,000. Well, annual incidence for older adults was 9 per 10,000. So we were really interested in looking at the differences between younger homeless veterans and older homeless veterans. What were the differences? But in contrast to these estimates, it appears that veterans ages 55 and older, they're disproportionately represented in homeless veteran populations. And our analysis of GPD program data indicates that 20% of homeless veterans are age 55 or older. So as you well know, it's not uncommon at the age of 60 for people to start having some health problems. Some of these are chronic health problems, some of these have acute onset, so they're likely to be able to have the start of a decreased social support system where friends and neighbors die, maybe they end up moving. So we were also interested in taking a look at, you know, what about people who have been chronically homeless and have aged into it, as opposed to people who have become more recently homeless and older age. So what we decided to do is this study explored the needs of older homeless veterans and younger homeless veterans, and we looked at outreach and use of transitional housing services, as well as their medical, psychosocial, and employment needs. And what we did is, it's sort of a mixed method study. What we did is we were really fortunate because we were able to go out into the community and we met with six different veteran focus groups, two at different locations, and then we at three different locations. We met with three provider groups at each location and three liaison groups. So we had an opportunity to really talk to people directly to get a better idea of their experiences as both being homeless veterans who are now in transitional housing programs and receiving VA services, as well as to be able to look at the grant per diem data. So we looked at Form X as well as Form D. And so right now I'm going to talk briefly about, this is a repeat of the slide I said earlier, the three areas were Gainesville, Tampa Bay, and Orlando. So we developed a semi-structured interview. We wanted to make sure that we had questions that were consistent across all groups. But then obviously the nature of the group is that you're allowed to be able to go off into areas that maybe you hadn't considered that for them are very salient and very relevant and that have direct application to their life and their experiences. But we wanted to know what were their perceptions and reasons for being homeless, what VA programs were helpful, what were the barriers that they were experiencing when they tried to get services, and how outreach and publicizing services for homeless veterans could be better targeted. So we asked them, you know, if you were an expert, you know, what would you do if you were on a panel? What would you advise the VA to do to bring about a difference in terms of creating awareness? And then perceived differences in service needs between younger and homeless veterans. And I want to say that I was really impressed by how articulate these particular groups of men were. They were very, very willing to share their experiences. And really, it was truly a pleasure to be able to sit down with them and to get a better understanding of what they were grappling with. Each focus group lasted for about an hour and a half. And the homeless veterans, they were paid $20 for their participation, and we had chips and water. But the people that were providers or liaisons, they just volunteered, and they were more than happy, and we had sufficient numbers to be able to run the groups. All the sessions were audio recorded and then transcribed. The three of us, Molinari, Fromm, and myself, we sat down and we looked for common themes, and then we sat down with Dr. Shinka and we reviewed common themes again. And we found that we had a range of veterans. We had asked specifically at these programs for older veterans, and the youngest one was 49, but overall the mean age was 61. We had fifth grade to doctoral level education, and we asked them what their highest level of employment was for the longest period of time over the course of their lifespan. And you can see that we've got, you know, people who do odd jobs all the way through being an executive. All of them unanimously said that being homeless was one of the most humiliating and devastating experiences that they've ever had. A fair number of the folks that we talked to had been incarcerated, and a couple of them said that they would rather be A, dead, or B, that they would engage in some kind of low-level criminal activity in order to go back to jail before they would be willing to go back out on the streets again. So they felt fairly strongly about that. They also really appreciated, with the exception of one person, they really appreciated the structure that these programs offered. They felt like their lives had just sort of been at odd ends. Some of the folks that we talked to, they made a distinction between those that live in a forest. There's a national forest that's close by, and a lot of the veterans, or some of the veterans, were living in the forest, and some of the homeless veterans were living out in the street. And they made a distinction between those two groups. And they felt that the kind of support that they were being offered was really critical for them to get back into mainstream society, that they needed that extra level of attention. The way that most of them accessed it, in terms of getting into transitional housing, was sort of happenstance. They would be in visiting their dentist, they would go in for some sort of a health-related service. More often than not, they would have some sort of change in their health status where, whoa, you know, my tooth really hurts, I need to get this taken care of, or I don't feel well, or there's something wrong. And it was because they had a health problem that they went into the VA for general care, and they just happened to come across somebody within the VA system who said, you know what, you might qualify for housing services. Tell you what, you know, let's check this out and let's see if we can get you lined up with this, you know, group here. And that's usually, for most of these guys, this is usually how they made the arrangements to get into a program. And they really felt that you needed to have an advocate, that the system itself is so complex that getting into the system is not straightforward. There's no clear roadmap. And by having somebody who could say, well, you might try this, you might try that, was very, very helpful. The other thing, too, that was really key was the dental services, that many of them had dental problems, and to be able to go in and finally get them taken care of, most of them, they described it as sort of a transformative experience. There was a sense that it was easier to have older veterans come into the program with outreach efforts than younger ones. That younger veterans, the older veterans' perception and some of the providers' perception was that younger ones were still in the midst of, I think I can make this work. You know, this is just a temporary thing where I'm couch surfing, or, you know, this is just one or two nights where I'm camping out and I can get my life back in order. And they kind of go through this process of adjusting to their homelessness status because they think that they're going to be able to make it on their own, and they're really trying to make it on their own. Where the older veteran who's been homeless for a while says, you know, it's really just too hard to be this old and to be out in the street struggling with what I'm struggling with. I have to get some help. I can't go on like this any longer. And so it's a lot easier for them to come into the system, ironically enough, than younger veterans. That was their perception, and a number of the providers felt the same way. The other thing, too, that was really distinctive is that they really felt that the older veterans in contrast to younger ones, had burnt a lot of their social bridges with their family members and with their social networks of friends, that they had just burned them out over the course of the years. And so being in a situation where the caseworker in the housing program would help to sort of rebuild those relationships and talk about how to maintain a relationship and sustain a relationship, those tended to be really big issues for this group of guys. We found that talking to the providers and the liaisons, that you can see that they've got more problems relative to younger ones and different problems. I think what's really key here is that they've got out-of-date job skills, and a lot of them understandably don't have any sort of tech savviness. That if you ask them to get on and to do an internet search or to try to do some things and roll in programs online, it's just not going to happen. So they really felt that there needed to be retooling programs that were specific to older veterans that wouldn't necessarily be as relevant for a younger one who had more fresh and recent job skills. So they also found that they were frustrated with the fact that there was a lack of coordination, and I'm sure that many of you who work in any kind of a large employment area know the same thing, where, you know, people work in silos, and oftentimes there are services that are similar or that are very different, and there's no way of communicating and making good referrals and checking to see. And so they were frustrated. A lot of times they felt that things could go faster if the services themselves were better integrated. Now I want to switch gears and talk a little bit about and give you some information that's basically fairly descriptive right now, what we're doing at this point, and looking at Form X and Form D records from 2003 to 2009. And I know Dr. Shinka just gave you a review of some of the elements and some of the work that he's been doing with some fancier models. Overall, the mean age here was 48 years, and you can see overwhelmingly that the sample is male. When you get to the older adult group, about 21% are age 55 and older. And we took 55 and older because of a number of factors. One of them is that because of the lifestyle that they lead, for many of these guys, older really is 55. And one of the things that was really, again, very distinctive about meeting these gentlemen face-to-face is that I'd say, by and large, with the exception of a few of them, most of them looked a lot older than their stated age. You could see where this had really had done some wear and tear on these folks being out on the street. And older veterans were more likely to be white than the younger veterans. And again, I think that reflects the military. You know, obviously at the time that they came into service, that there was probably those types of demographics, and so it's reflective of service. A significantly greater proportion of older veterans had more serious medical problems compared to younger veterans, and on average, older veterans reported one more health problem compared to younger veterans. So they had more serious, and on average, one more. Health issues, and this is not surprising, this is, you know, typical problems that are associated with aging process in general. And I'm sure that that is exacerbated by being out on the street and being homeless and not being able to take medications the way you're supposed to take them. And it's just difficult maintaining order when you don't have an orderly life. So hypertension, heart and cardiovascular problems, and COPD. Upon program enrollment, older veterans reported a decreased use of alcohol and multi-drug use during the past 30 days. And compared with younger veterans, older veterans reported on average fewer drinking days, fewer days intoxicated, and less drug use. In terms of psychiatric problems, older veterans were less likely than younger veterans to report trouble controlling violent behavior. And again, you know, because we haven't really sort of delved into this, it could be that they've learned over the years, or they burned out over the years, or there could be a variety of factors why that this is different. They're less likely to report having attempted suicide within the last 30 days, but there was virtually no other difference on 7 of the 11 psychiatric outcomes like depression and anxiety. Compared to younger veterans, older veterans spent significantly more days in the GPD program at significantly increased costs, but they were less likely to complete the GPD program, and they were equally likely compared to younger veterans to return to homelessness. So again, you know, other than this descriptive information, we need to do more follow-up work to get an understanding of why this might be. We just don't know at this point. So in conclusion, this is one of the largest studies to date to assess the effects of homelessness and age. And the most significant findings were the number of serious medical problems found among older veterans, differences in race, that the older veterans tended to be a largely white group compared with younger veterans. And again, as I mentioned earlier, you know, it most likely represents the composition of the military at that time. But there may be other issues that we need to think about, which are outreach programs to non-white homeless veterans, or maybe a lack of voluntary participation within this group for services. One of the things that the older veterans talked repeatedly about was that, you know, with outreach efforts, it was really kind of sweet. They would say, you know, you can really go out and you can do really great outreach. And we think that doing veteran outreach, you know, veterans to veterans, is really an effective way to go about it. But if somebody is not ready to go and make a change in their life, you can do as much outreach as you want, and it's not going to make any difference. You got to hit them at that sweet spot right when they're ready to go. And so that was really reassuring, because there seemed to be some real consistency. You know, you could see people's heads nodding in the group, that they're all kind of like, oh yeah, that's true. And they say, yeah, you know, there were times where I had been approached previously and I just wasn't ready to make that change. I wasn't ready to do that. And so that was reassuring but yet discouraging at the same time. So aging may be a critical factor in housing intervention for homeless veterans, and so we're going to continue to do more analysis looking at the CDC death registry and Medicaid and Medicare files. And that's my contact information, and thank you for your attention.
We have a minute or two for questions.